Are you using the gavel as a back scratcher?
Well, yeah. I'm not even going to try to defend it.
I'd like to make a motion for a new gavel.
I'd like to make a motion.
We have no money, so that's going to be an issue.
And welcome to this month's episode of the Missing Movie Club. I'm the president, John, and we're so glad to have you back. If you're new, we're glad to have you too. Although we'd like it if you came back some more, that'd be cool.
And brought more people. Bring friends.
And money.
We also like cake.
Snacks. Potential dates for the single person on this entire panel.
There it is. There it is. Every month.
Listen, we just finished Single People Awareness Day. Which, by the way, is a real thing. It takes place the day before Valentine's. It's called Single Awareness Day, which abbreviated spells SAD. That is not okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't think that's okay.
It's okay.
You hear that tiny violin?
Oh,
I hear it.
Cool. I hear the sound of talent leaving.
Again,
that
did he just
call
himself
like a fat ass there, baby?
Let's get into this. So, whoever's our secretary, let's do some roll call.
Well, it's me.
Hello, everybody.
Well, hello. Hello, all you cool cats and kittens out there. And Radio Land. Oh, gosh. All right. President John.
El Presidente.
Redo.
Let me do it with some more disdain in my voice. Hang on. This meeting's president, John.
That's much better. Thank you.
Vice President Chris.
That's me.
In my head, you're like a terrifying animatronic.
Yeah, I was going to say, like yeah.
Yeah.
Secretary is me. It's Jason. Hey. And Treasurer Pamela.
Hello.
That is our roll call. We don't have any guests.
We need to work on that.
And there might be a ghost.
Yeah, have we ever had EVPs when you listen to these, when you're editing them? Have you ever just kind of listened just to hear? No.
I mean, we've had some noises I couldn't edit out that raised my hackles.
That was just Jason talking.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very attacked.
Don't worry, because it wasn't you. It was me breathing.
That is Pamela John's wife. John will be sleeping on the couch this evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, so good.
Him and the cats will be camped out in the living room.
They breathe loud.
So good.
All right. So next would be the treasurer's report.
Which we don't have one because we have no money. Funds or resources, we have none of that either.
Thank you, treasurer. So then, vice president, any new business?
Why? No, I don't believe there's any new business.
I was real excited. I was like, bring up
some new business.
Oh, all right.
My new business is I think that we've been really good about giving a little plot synopsis of the movies. So I think we should also, something that we've been lax on is that we haven't gone through and named the main characters and maybe told what they've been in before.
Like going through the cast.
Go through the cast, name the main characters, tell maybe a little bit what they've been in before, maybe the director, maybe the screenwriter, something like that. Maybe that would help.
If it helps any, I have extensive notes that I made, aka I pulled up IMDb.
Oh, okay.
And
good.
I don't think we've actually told our listeners this month what we watched, unless they listened to last month's podcast.
It's Logie Luckin.
What?
Logie Luckin.
What is happening today? We can't have the lights on.
It is
you freaked
like
me out for 20 minutes saying the equipment was messed up.
It is kind of like we're having a seance in here.
I just need to bust out what's happening.
I could light some incense and make Jason choke.
That's why I can't light sage in my house, because it will kick me out.
Not a big fan of patchouli.
Or we could just let one of the cats back down here. That'd do it too.
No, that one loves me. It will not leave my side. I had to trick it to go upstairs. He's like, come on, buddy.
That figures. He's a little asshole. He probably recognizes his own.
I'm not even mad about that.
And there's shots fired across the bow.
Can I just say, she is the best treasurer we have ever had.
There you go. I'm not even mad about it. It's an accurate fact.
So going back to that, I would second that motion. El Presidente giving the kind of rundown of the cast of the movie. I think that's a good idea.
For this movie, Lucky Logan. Nope. Logan Lucky.
Scratch that, reverse it.
What is the name of the movie we watched? I got told 7 different titles before it started.
The movie is Logan Lucky.
Thank you. See? Best treasurer ever.
There you go.
All right. So okay. Let's talk about Logan Lucky. I'm going to give a little the synopsis from IMDb. I mean, my extensive notes. And then we'll kind of go through the cast a little bit because this thing has a hell of a cast, quite honestly.
Yeah. Even the bit parts got some big names. Yeah.
There's some surprise casting in this movie.
Yeah, there really was.
I enjoyed quite a few of the little like cameos. There's lots of cameos.
Wow. That is the shortest synopsis ever. The synopsis on IMDb is two brothers attempt to pull off a heist during a NASCAR race in North Carolina.
I kept getting confused.
Which is like saying Titanic is about a boat going down. Yes. Like it doesn't cover anything.
But you know what?
Whoa,
thing,
spoilers!
Though, I will say this. I'm glad it doesn't because I was more invested into seeing what was happening and trying to figure out what was going on. And I think if they had given too much away, I probably wouldn't have been as invested because I'd be like, oh, I already know what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Instead of Jason Boone like, what the hell is going on every 5 minutes?
He kind of wasn't alone on that because I hadn't seen the movie either. And there's a few spots in this movie where I'm just like, what?
Great.
Okay.
There were quite a few moments.
Yes,
and I
have to agree with Jason on that one.
The one very pivotal plot point that Jason loved the most, though, was the bear in the woods.
I still don't understand what the happened.
And then he disappeared. Then the bear just disappeared.
There's literally a dude in a bear costume, walks on, gives a bag that we don't even know what the hell was in it, and then he just leaves.
That's true.
Well, yeah, and really, what did that come into play for the...
I don't know what it was
because
for.
He said it's something, yeah, he was holding for him, but the only things he used was the stuff that they got for him.
Yeah, I don't really know what that was for.
I agree with that. That is, I never thought about that. That just
maybe
falls...
it was the fireman's helmets.
Maybe, well, yeah, I guess
I don't know.
Because
I think it was just to fuck with us.
Yeah.
I mean,
me too.
And I appreciate that.
All I will say is I like to root for the underdog in every film that we have watched. There needed to be some more justice for Gleema. She deserved some loving at the end besides whatever that. We don't even know what she got, a cake or she got money. We don't know what was in the box. What's in the box? We never saw what was in the box.
It's true.
I know.
I wanted Gleema to get with Adam Driver. I was like, well, that'd be a cute couple.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd have been a real cute couple.
That's good because I identify with Gleema, so I like that very much. So thank
you.
You
were also offended about what I said about Adam Driver. In the movie. We can talk
he
about
calls that. Adam Driver fat.
I did not say those words.
He said busky.
I said he looks a little chunky in this, and he put on weight for this movie.
That's what he said. Yeah. So Adam Driver,
at which you turned around and hissed at me like a cat.
I did because
I was like, I like him skinny.
No, you like them otter boys.
And if we could have this on the podcast, like a video, you would see Pamela do her little dance.
That was
of the otter, the little otter dance.
I mean, you know, I like a little petiter fella.
No.
With a fake hand.
I mean, he got that really cool one at the end.
That thing looked like it would snip things off.
Yeah, mistake. I was like, well, that's not going to touch me.
Yeah.
Woo!
That thing looked like, I was like, can you hand, okay.
Yes, he can handle it.
Let's talk about the main cast. So the main character, I guess, technically is Channing Tatum.
Zaddy.
Which is...
Zaddy?
Zaddy.
He's in all kinds.
He's way hotter than a daddy. He's a zaddy.
Oh.
Zaddy. Is that with an X?
Zaddy? No, it's with a Z.
Zaddy.
You're like, hey, Zaddy.
For Zezzy?
No, it's just
for
Zaddy.
Zezzy.
Like, but why the Z?
It says he
does. Because it's so, like, you're just like, oh, what letter can I get to? I'm going to the last one of the alphabet. That's how attractive he is.
And then we have Adam Driver, who is Kylo Ren in Star Wars. And
he plays
he
the
was
brother.
In Girls.
Oh, yeah, he was in Girls. Yeah. We haven't ever watched that, though.
I watched it without him.
His episode of Saturday Night Live was probably one of the funniest.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never seen that, you should definitely go check that
the
out.
The IT guy at the Death Star.
Yeah.
Oh, and doing the undercover boss.
Undercover boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're Kylo Ren. We all know it. No, I'm not.
I often forget his real name and just call him Kylo Ren, and I feel a little bad about that.
I mean...
He kind of looks like the kid from Real Genius, like, grown up. The kid that played next to
Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer with him. The kid that gets skipped in the grade. Like, they have a very similar face structure.
The nose?
Yeah. Like, that whole, like, and you would think that, wow, maybe that's what that guy would look like if he grew up, but he's not.
He has a really attractive nose. I love Adam Driver's nose.
He has an interesting face. His face is very interesting. Like, there's no, like...
You know what it gets more interesting? When he's less husky.
I've actually never seen that movie.
Real Genius?
With, oh my gosh.
It's been
It's years. Got my boy in it.
Oh man, Real Genius is great.
Maybe we need to add that to the list then.
Or it's on one of the new streaming and I had to watch it again. Oh yeah, Real Genius is great.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Then the third member of the Logan clan is their sister.
What has she been in?
The only thing that I recognize her from is she was capable in Mad Max. She was one of the girls.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mad Max or you don't remember?
Is it the remake or the original?
The new one.
I haven't seen any of the new ones.
Well, they only had one so far.
Oh.
I thought there was two.
No, they haven't.
I'm sorry.
Fury Road is a cinematic masterpiece.
Is it not a remake? Is it?
No, it's not a remake. It's a continuation.
I thought it was a remake. That's why I didn't see it.
No, it's...
I'll watch it then. Okay. I thought it was a remake, and I was like, I don't want to watch this.
It will change your life.
I'll take a look at it. Do I need to watch the other ones first?
But I'm like, I really want to be there while you watch it.
Yeah, all you gotta know is it still takes place in the same apocalypse wasteland that the original versions took place in. That's
Master
all you gotta
Blaster
know.
Blaster back? Does he have a cameo?
Oh God, I wish. Oh, but Immortan Joe
Did,
is great.
Did Tina Turner make another appearance?
No, unfortunately.
Well, then I'm not watching it.
Who run Bata Town? God, yeah, I thought I agree.
What
with
was
you
the
on
sister's?
One.
What was the actress's name?
Riley Keough. So
Keough. Riley Keough. Yeah. Okay. She did great. I think
she's like a model and stuff too.
Yeah, no,
she started,
actually
maybe
super cute. By the way, like super cute.
And those Drew
but
Barrymore
what I appreciated
vibes.
That she didn't do was play it like she didn't play her character dumb. If you know what I'm saying, like compared to everybody else, like you still knew she was from the South, but she did not play it like.
Also,
she was one of the smarter people in the thing.
Oh yeah, she's like MacGyver, man. Yeah. She was like
the female member of the gang, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they never used it for her to like go seduce a guy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
never,
like, she never used that. It was
it was always
she was intelligent. She could drive like hell.
Yeah. No, I.
She wasn't
with that.
Afraid of roaches.
Yeah. She had
And she played the one dude for his car like. Like a harp from hell.
Yeah. Well, that was funny when they showed her she was getting so she could, like, pick the lock electronically.
Yeah.
She was also in Magic Mike.
Oh, Nora from Magic Mike.
Yeah. From Channing.
Okay.
And then we had Katie Holmes as Channing Tatum's ex. You have, I'm going down the list. It's in order. Seth MacFarlane as an asshole, which seems appropriate most of the time.
He's also a zaddy, by the way.
Oh.
Oh, I have a huge crush on Seth MacFarlane.
Do you like his singing?
Like, he has like any the Christmas time album. He looks into the camera and opens his mouth.
And we have Daniel Craig is in there.
With his southern accent. Yes,
which
I don't
is know.
About that good.
Yeah, it's about as foghorn leghorn as you can get.
I say.
Do you think this is like when things go terribly wrong for his detective character from
Knives
Out? Like, because it can't be the other way, because otherwise he had a lot of tattoo removal.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It fits his character, but it's just bad. It's just not good.
All right, we got a few more people to get through. You have Dwight Yoakam is actually in this movie for a little while. He's the
warden
at the prison. Who am I missing? Sebastian Stan is in it.
Yes. For like 5 seconds, it's not
beautiful
long
5 seconds.
And he's
though.
Very thin, as Jason seems to
I was like,
out.
Oh, hey!
He's not real buff. Like
he's not zaddy yet.
Soldier.
He's not a zaddy status yet, though.
We have Hilary Swank is in it.
Looking very Hilary Swankish.
Yes.
That woman,
I like
you can
her.
Cut a roast on that woman's face, man.
She's got a
handsome woman.
You know, I will say this. I feel like there's not enough. Do you ever believe in that curse? They always talk about the curse of when a woman wins Best Actress. After you get that award, all of your movies after that just kind of go downhill. There's this curse about it.
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Man.
Catwoman, Ooh. Right? Yeah. But that's the thing, though. If you've ever noticed, a lot of those women, I don't know what it is, except for Meryl. But Meryl's done some bad things, too.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. But if like, to me, like, Hilary Swank was like the it girl for the longest time. Her character was very one note in this. Very one note.
I feel like she was supposed to kind of be, like, if you're going back to the old theatrical thing, she was like our Greek chorus that was telling you what happened. Like,
she's just
laying out the facts of how people aren't catching things.
I just don't necessarily feel like she was acting.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a nuanced.
Is that yeah. wrong?
Emotional no. performance by any
I felt means. Like it was just like reading off a piece of paper. Like, oh, I'm supposed to say this now with a stern face.
Look, maybe she had a mortgage payment due and she was just trying to get a little money.
I mean, there are some people that have straight up announced that the only reason they did a movie was because they needed to buy a house. Well, Betsy Palmer for Friday the 13th Part 1, the only reason she took that script was because she needed a new car. She's famous for saying, I thought this movie was shit. I just wanted a new car.
I mean, I'd do that.
Yeah,
if anybody wants
to hire me. Yeah. And then there are multiple very good character actors, some from like Stranger Things specifically. And then The Office, there were a couple of actors. Of course, we have to mention, for Jason's sake, that America's Sweetheart, Leanne Rimes, was in this movie.
We almost had to pause the movie as I went in as to why Leanne Rimes killed her career. But Jack Quaid, too. Don't forget Jack. Jack is an up-and-coming.
Oh, he was the brother. The kid from The Boys.
Yeah. So he's in The Boys. He's in Scream 5. He's been in a couple things, and like I think we can start to see him growing as an actor, which is kind of really cool because you don't always see that with movies. But like, to me, like, I'm seeing him get better. Like, this was actually really good, and I'm pretty sure this came out before The Boys on Amazon, by the way.
This is actually an Amazon movie too. It came out in 2017.
So I just want to give him props. Like, I think he's his talent is starting to evolve.
I mean, do you think he looked a little husky in this role, though?
Nah, he was all right.
He looked like the dude has been doing meth for, like, he was so thin.
I mean, sometimes I enjoy, if I can pick you up, you know, we're good.
Actually, one other thing, this is a random thought, and I know we're going to talk about other stuff. I mean, we're kind of through the cast anyway. But one thing that I appreciated about this is it's very clearly set in, like, the redneck, I mean, I'm just going to say it, like the hillbilly kind of world, they did it on purpose, you know, roughneck, however you want to say it. And it never had any, I didn't ever get any like racist tones about anything. I didn't ever get any.
Yeah, that's very true.
There was nothing like that, like any of the stereotypical stuff that you expect, but there was a lot of turning the expectation, like them knowing chemistry, them, stuff like that. Yeah. Like,
I would agree with that. I mean, there were definitely some redneck moments. Yeah. The toilet seat tossing.
And the pig's feet.
Sent me into a whole new world.
Bobbing for pig's feet.
It still makes me want to gag.
But, I mean, this could have been set in my hometown. I mean, it just feels that real.
It just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for real, it's like that.
Except there's no industry that brings in enough money for you to pull this off there.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But, like, the closest that we got to a moment like that was clearly a false moment where in the prison, the white dude attacked the other guy, like, you can never be white or whatever, just to start it. And you knew he was doing it just to fake start the riot. Mm-hmm. Like,
and I think that's
it was interesting.
I think that's a good point that, and Pamela pointed it out. It's like, this is the most well behaved prisoners.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the South, like that.
This was definitely not inspired by the TV series Oz.
These prisoners are just very well behaved.
I mean, because that's what I kept thinking when we were getting there. I was like, oh, is there going to be a race riot? Like, how are they going to do the riot? But then it was a riot over one of the most ridiculous damn things I've ever heard of in my life.
George R. R. Martin's books.
Right. I was like, the hell?
Game of Thrones.
And as John said, the longer that those books don't come out, the funnier that scene in the movie gets.
Yes! It does.
Because that was, what, they would have been filming it in 2016?
At least, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's 2022 now, kids. He's still somewhere with his hat and his glasses, just sipping a margarita while we all wait for
while
the damn
that
book.
Money kept rolling in.
Yep. Going back to them subverting expectations, this is directed by Steven Soderbergh, who also did Ocean's 11. In that movie, it was kind of the same way. You had criminals, but they were like the Robin Hood kind of thing. And so you kind of have that with this, too. Like, I'm sorry, but Joe and his brothers, if this was a different movie, they would have just popped somebody and took the money. Like,
oh, totally. No, they were clearly meth.
Well, and I kept kind of waiting for that, too. I kept waiting for them to double cross and, like, take some of the money, which maybe that's why the brothers aren't brought up again. Maybe they did. Maybe they pulled a couple bags out for themselves and, you know.
That's true.
So because
that
we
actually
never
makes
see,
sense.
Yeah, because we never hear about them again after that whole, the ending.
Again, we don't know how much money there was.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like about this movie, that it lets you build your own headcanon around some things. It doesn't tell you everything. It just lets you fill in some gaps, which I kind of like that in a movie. I mean, I appreciate that. I like where I get to make it part of my own world.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. If you had said it when you're talking about the old lady when they make the phone call to the cop to get the one state trooper, like, involved so they can go by. there's this poor old church lady, you know, gets pulled over, and then you you don't know what he told him that she did or had. You're guessing it's probably some sort of drug smuggling or something like that.
And I love how they set that lady up in the beginning, because she's the lady in the salon first getting her hair done purple, and they set it up that there's this lady that loves purple. So that you remember her when you get there, which is like, what, 45 minutes past that? I mean, in the movie
she did get top billing on IMDb as the purple lady.
Nice. Who was the bear in the woods? Do we have an actor for that?
Sorry, we were looking up the purple lady now.
I'm not seeing anyone listed as the bear in the woods.
Yeah, it's probably an uncredited.
I'm sorry, can you go back up for a second? Did that say tweaker and a race fan? I thought
same thing. Not at all what I thought it was going to say.
Redneck carnival attendee.
So if I remember right, and this could be totally unfounded, I haven't looked it up again, but I remember reading somewhere that this movie, the script kind of came out of nowhere, and there wasn't really a writer, or the writer that was on it, nobody really knew who they were. And so the reigning theory was it was actually written by Steven Soderbergh's wife.
Oh.
And did it under a pseudonym, and then like he kind of came out of retirement to do this movie, if I remember correctly.
I will say this movie is a very good Sunday afternoon movie. When you're just kind of chilling on the couch, you know, you don't got a lot going on because it's Sunday and you're kind of trying to just get yourself focused and chill for the work day. I will say that I did enjoy this and I would watch it again. I will give it a Jason seal of approval that I would watch this again.
Yay. Do I need to actually like draw a Jason seal of approval?
Oh, and then you can put it on when we put it on the website, put the little seal on the
I can't wait to get the first movie that doesn't get my seal of approval.
In Latin around it, it'll say I would watch this again.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. See, I'm on the kind of this kind of movie plays into my anxiety really badly because I'm an overthinker. So I'm always trying when I watch. Yeah, right? I know it surprises everybody at the table. But when I watch movies, I'm always trying to think ahead. I'm always trying to figure it out as I'm watching it. And so that's why I like dumb movies like Demolition Man. You know, I can watch that movie all the time because I don't have to think ahead about it. Even though I know I've seen it, but even when I first like watch it, I didn't have to think ahead about it. I don't have to. I can just enjoy the movie for what it is. But movies like these, I'm always trying to catch, like you said, all the little things like the purple lady. Think what's going to happen. I think that's what I said when we were watching it. I expected there to be more hijinks. And I mean, it's good. And like I said, I enjoy the movie as well. But yeah, this movie just, it gave me a lot of anxiety. But, you know, after I've seen it once, I can kind of enjoy it more and catch, like you said, pick up all the
little things. Yeah, I was going to say, this one definitely deserves like a second and third watch because there were things that I picked up that I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Because I was like, well, that's an odd thing for her to have in the trunk of her car. But then other things made no sense to me. Like, I was like, why did he crash his car into the gas station? And then I was like, oh, well, that comes into play later. Again, I still don't understand what the bear had to do with anything. But it makes me kind of think of some of those other movies that have come out in the past where they just throw random shit in there to mess with you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell did that have to do with this whole movie? I don't know, because the director thought it was funny that a guy in a bear costume walks out in damn woods.
Yeah.
And look what we're talking about 3 hours later. Still talking about the guy in a bear costume.
I think it's just like an in-joke. They think it's funny and they put it in their movies. Yeah. Man, I totally would. I'd have all kinds of shit like that in my movies.
Just so that, your friends would be like, ah!
Well, just watch any Wes Anderson movie. They're pretty much all in-jokes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I like Wes Anderson movies. Because every little joke, like, in those movies, you're usually, like, just like, what the...
Yeah, and I just love heist-type stories anyway. Mm. It's like a good murder mystery for me. It's like my equivalent to that. I love a heist.
See, that's funny that you don't like the Lady Killers then, because that's pretty much what those are, just heist movies.
I think my problem with the Lady Killers is, I've talked about this with stories and movies and stuff, I don't like it when there's no sense of hope for characters at the end of something, and because it is like the ultimate dark comedy.
Oh, yeah, no, it is, I agree.
That's like, I'm going to get beaten. I don't really like Heathers. It's just...
I think Heathers found its generation back at that time. I was never a huge Heathers fan because I was like... Some of the stuff that they would say would totally got on my nerves, even as a teenager. I was like, nobody talks like that. Like, sometimes I feel like those movies were...
I was like 8 when I watched it.
Yeah,
so.
But I just think sometimes you can tell when something's written that you think, oh, a teenager would say, fuck me with a chainsaw. No, he wouldn't. Even as a teenager, I would be like... you know, stab my eye out with a fork, maybe, but not with a chainsaw.
I disagree. I totally would have said fuck me with a chainsaw.
Really?
Yeah, yes.
I'm pretty sure I did hear her say fuck me with a chainsaw. See,
the only thing that with that movie is at that time is I had a huge crush on Winona Ryder. And I still kind of do. Winona, you know, hey. But
she's pretty.
Started my hatred for Christian Slater.
That's why I still hate Devon Sawa.
Yeah, it's just those. Yeah, like. I can't judge.
There's lots of people I hate.
His whole Jack
Nicholson
stick in that.
I hate an Oscar nominee, and I can't believe she got nominated for an Oscar. If she wins, I have given up all hope. Kristen Stewart. It's like watching a piece of paper try to act.
I kind of agree with you on that. I'm not gonna lie.
Pasty ass.
Oh, for Diana?
Shit. Yes.
Oh. If you want an Oscar, you have to do a biopic. Like, a biopic is a way to
but
get it.
She doesn't deserve it. I'm sorry. You play the same... I don't understand. You play the same character in every movie. Ever.
And Snow White and the Huntsman?
I mean, have you seen Diana?
No, I'm not going to. I don't like her.
Because she didn't get nominated for any of those other ones. Maybe this is the one where she actually acts. Just to throw it out there. It's possible.
I can't support it. I don't find her talented. I know I'm probably offending people, but that's another reason I hate the Twilight movies. Everything she's ever been in, it's been the same. Just, I'm going to read lines.
I heard she was really good in Panic Room. Like, her first
I mean,
movie.
Probably because Jodie Foster was like, pick it up.
Behind the scenes.
I'm just saying, I bet Jodie Foster
was just grabbing her by the collar, like...
Not grabbing her by the collar. She probably grabbed her by the throat and was like, now I'm trying to do a comeback. Probably damn if you're going to screw it up.
Like Liam Neeson. I like Liam Neeson, but he can be in a Western. He can be in like these. He always is the exact same character. Like the dude has, even back in High Spirits, you know, with the, plays the ghost.
Oh,
yeah.
Such a good movie.
Yeah. Which is a good movie too. And I like when you first see him in that, when you're young, you're like, oh, this guy's kind of funny. Oh, you never seen that with Daryl Hannah and Steve Guttenberg?
I mean, it's a good. It's not something I'm like, oh God, I gotta go watch
this.
I like Steve Guttenberg, though.
Oh,
this was back in when the Goot was still trying to remain relevant.
And yeah, it's got a good cast.
It's got a good cast. It's just, again,
it's just one of those stupid comedies.
Yeah,
it's
like I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, it's definitely not. But yeah,
it's a Saturday afternoon movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. There's some good lines.
There's some
good stuff.
But
in
I don't necessarily know if it'd be one that I would put on the list for this show. Liam Neeson was kind of hot in it, though.
He was. He was very well built when he's young, because it's young.
He was built,
man, back in the day.
How did we get on this topic?
We were talking about the dark comedies.
I didn't know if we were saying someone in this movie couldn't act.
Yeah, Liam Neeson.
And I know.
I was saying Liam Neeson is the same type of actor. He just plays the same character over and over again. And we're saying that movie was one of his first movies, and he kind of had a little bit different, but he still plays it like Liam Neeson.
Okay, Heathers may have been a bad example, but like Death Becomes Her. Like I appreciate that movie. But I can't, Jason needs a paper bag.
He's gonna hyperventilate.
I just dropped my phone on the floor. It's probably on Grindr right now, as shocked as I am. All the gay just left my body.
He's just a puddle in the floor, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, John, I mean, there's...
I appreciate the movie. I like it, but I can't sit and watch it.
But that movie has a lot of hope, though, because Bruce Willis's character learns about life, even though he's in his late 40s. And they kind of sum it up at the end of the movie. Is like, you know, he moved on and had a family and like went, you know, had learned to live life. And
how
I think
long
that's...
has Bruce Willis been in his late 40s, by the way?
I think since Moonlighting, he has been in his late 40s. Like, no joke. Okay, now we got to see how old Bruce Willis is.
Die Hard just aged him that much.
Yeah. No, you're right. He always just looks middle-aged. Like,
oh, my face hurts.
Matter.
I'm trying to not be mad at you as a human right now.
All
right,
let's see.
Certain type of movies that just pass John by, and it's okay because there's certain type of movies that pass me by.
Me too. Me too.
So,
I will allow it right now,
so
but I still have
So what would you guess? What would you? How old would you guess?
78.
He's got to be 65.
68.
Wow, you guys, Pamela is close to 66.
I was going by how old his face looks.
So yeah, so when he made that movie, he would have been in his like 40s. So he actually would have been, because
since we're on the topic of acting, I will say that minus Daniel Craig's accent, the acting in this was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times where I was like, the weird southern drawl, like,
cauliflower.
Cauliflower. And I was like, what the hell does that have to do with shit? He just say cauliflower and walk the hell out of the scene?
That's the one thing we quote from this movie all the time.
Did you just say cauliflower to me?
Death Becomes Her. I'm sorry to cut in this.
No, keep coming. I want John to be mad.
1992 when that movie was made.
Yeah.
92. God, I didn't think it was that
I
old.
Think it was the movie that actually put Isabella Rossellini on
that
the
map. Oh, she's gorgeous in that movie. Yeah.
Isabella Rossellini can put anything she wants anywhere she wants.
I thought she's... How old is she?
Oh, she's in her 70s.
Yeah, she's up there too.
I was like, she's been around for a while.
She's timeless.
But I think it really brought her to a different generation, I think, at that time.
Okay.
Because I'd never heard of her until that movie.
I was
11.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was pretty young, but I still loved
I was hitting just the right formative years, we'll put it that way.
It was that movie, and do you remember She-Devil with Meryl and Roseanne?
Yes.
I have never seen that movie.
What is wrong with you?
I mean, it's not the greatest, but it is. If you ever want to get together and watch it again, I would totally watch that movie with
it's
you.
It's funny.
Have you ever seen She-Devil with Meryl?
Yeah, and it was out around that same
again,
time.
Again, it's not one that I was like, you have to watch this movie, because, you know, it's got Ed Begley Jr. in it. And
which is the mark of quality.
Right. That is the mark.
Dude. That was about the time that we moved close enough to the movie store that I could walk over there. Whoa, that Southern accent came out hard.
Yeah, it did.
Anyway.
It's kind of been coming out this whole time, but I was like,
I think
listen,
it's the movie.
She's feeling her roots. I'm not going to say anything.
Anyway, so it was about the time that I could walk over to the movie. We moved near the movie store and I could walk over there by myself. And Nora, who worked at the movie store, just let me pick out anything. So, you know 10, 11 years old, and
good
I would
for,
watch.
Good for Nora. Let you live your best life. Yeah.
It's a good
thing. I just need a little Southern right there, too. Living your best life.
Sugar.
But no, I think they, one thing that I appreciate with this movie, though, is, and you kind of talked about it at the beginning, is it really did paint a picture of, I don't want to say Southern life, because I don't necessarily think of North Carolina as the South, but...
West Virginia?
More country. Well, there's like North Carolina and West Virginia and South Carolina. I don't know.
Blue Ridge Mountains. that's all we have money for.
That's it.
And that's the other thing I want to talk about later, too, is the soundtrack. But it did paint a really good picture of... It didn't necessarily make fun of the fact that of the setting and where they were located.
Right.
There were some things that made fun of like country... bumpkininess.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I felt like it had that charm. It was very charming because to me it wasn't super like, oh, let's make fun of rednecks.
Right.
You know, but I think again,
I went to school with every single one of those people. Like, you could pick a character from the movie and I can tell you somebody I went to school with. Like, it felt that realistic.
Except there was nobody that chewed.
Also a lack of smoking.
Yeah, one guy. Yeah, the guy that was smoking in the vent to make him to cover the smoke.
That was plot related though.
That was plot related. You're
still
right.
Good.
It's still
and he had 4 more minutes on his 20.
They did. But he needed
I'm sorry, it was still a funny joke.
But yeah, there was nobody that chawed.
So I'm not a big fan of child actors. They typically get on my nerves very quickly because directors are like, just play it cute and I don't know. The daughter was adorable, and she did such a good job. But what I liked about her is they never showed her disappointed in her dad.
Yeah.
And I thought I was like, oh, that's what's going to happen. She's going to be disappointed, and that's going to be the catalyst that kicks off what happens. But even when he was totally forgot that was the thing to go to, doesn't matter. She was just like, I love my dad.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I like about this movie. The relationships are realistic.
Yeah.
Like the relationship between the daughter and the dad, super realistic. The relationship between the dad and the mom, super realistic.
Yep.
And just that whole family dynamic. Realistic.
I do wish that there was more clarification at the beginning, because remember, I was really confused. I thought that he was having sex with his sister. I was very confused. And then you all cleared it up. You're like, no, that's the aunt. And I was like, oh, I kind of feel like... And maybe... This is why I think so. As much as I'm praising the acting, I wonder if the scene with when you first introduce him to that character of the sister, who's Melly, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the first scene they filmed, because there was like this weird... I got a weird flirtation vibe. Did anybody else get the flirtation vibe? Because I think that's why I got so confused. I was like, is this the girlfriend? Is she a friend that's going to become the girlfriend? I think if there would have been a line that was just like, hey, sis, then I'd have been like, oh, that's the sister. But to me, I was really confused at the beginning. And that's why I said to you, what kind of movie is this? Because is this how we're going that kind of way? So I think maybe it needed to be a little more blatant. I don't want to wait till seven scenes down the road to figure out that's the sister, because I really thought it was the girlfriend.
I mean, it was literally the next scene.
But it didn't, to me, there was nothing that said, if there was, Katie Holmes said the aunt, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying enough attention to, because in my mind,
there
she was
it
like,
is. There it is.
No, here's why. Here's why. Listen, sometimes in split families, if you are dating somebody, you might call them aunt whatever, because you're not ready for the kid to know that that's daddy's girlfriend, right? Like, oh, look, we're not married, but here comes Uncle Jason, because he's dating, Uncle Brandon. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? So that's why I got confused, because I was like, oh, okay, well, it's just aunt whatever. And I was like, yeah, okay. she's whatever. So to me, I felt like it was such a throwaway line that it, and I blame Katie Holmes. I'll just blame Katie.
I'm okay with that.
I think there could have been more emphasis, or there should have been this is the one complaint I have about this movie, is that I was completely confused at the beginning until you all were like, no, she even, because I think it was you that said, Pamela, you even said, no, Jason, she said the aunt. And I was like, yeah, but like, I took it as like, oh, well, you don't need to know this is daddy's girlfriend yet.
I have a complaint.
Go ahead. Does it top my complaint, or is it a complaint about me?
No, it's a complaint about the aunt.
Okay, good.
Her wardrobe.
Ah, those white boots.
And the crochet top.
Yeah, that's why, again.
Yeah. Maybe her outfits just pictured somebody a little over-sexualized, and that's where you could get that from, but.
I mean, plus, they looked closer in age to me than, like, him and Katie Holmes.
Yeah, so, yeah, I would agree. So. And the whole, she's like, and I went and I picked up your daughter. If she would have said, I picked up my niece or something else. But the way that scene played out at the beginning, I really just felt like, I was like, oh, they're together. That's why I was so confused when he started getting with, what's her name? The doctor lady.
Oh, yeah. That actress who I did not mention.
I don't remember her name.
She was the main sister in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Sylvia was the character's name. Yeah. Played by Catherine Waters.
Who is just super cute, by the way.
Super cute, except for that hair.
Too bad about the haircut, Jesus. Man.
That mushroom haircut.
But I wonder if her hair looked like that. Like, when did Fantastic Beasts
film
because she had the bob cut in it, and maybe they were just trying to make it look different.
Yeah. That could have been
that would be good.
No, yeah, that's why I was
Fantastic
super confused.
Beast was 2016 and this was 2017, so maybe she was just trying to roll that out.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, they do make wigs.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, that's what really confused me, and that's what brought up the conversation. I was like, wait, is he gonna cheat on his girlfriend? And that's when you were like, what are you talking about?
I do think they did a better job establishing the relationship between the brothers, because you know that they're obviously brothers. Then they do establishing like she's a sister, so it almost feels like a third wheel sort of thing.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'll get on board with you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting you say that though, because you don't really ever see Adam Driver's character except for at the end, really interact with her much. Uh-huh. You know, like when they're in the car together. Yeah, when she's driving them from the prison thing, but then I guess he's going to stay with her because the brother, left in the trailer and everything. But yeah, you really don't see them interact. You really wouldn't get a sibling
for them. Was there ever a director's cut of this film?
Not that I know of.
I wonder if there were some. I always wonder about certain things with movies when I get confused in them. I wonder if there was a scene that was cut out.
Yeah,
oh, that could be.
That may have established it more. Probably
it's possible.
You know.
Yeah, my one little complaint about this movie is I think we could have cut some of the little in-between things, like when they're at the racetrack and they show like a scene of people driving and a scene of people talking, and those went on a little long. Like, give me like one good little flash of the race is starting and then you can go on.
So
like,
that
drug a bit.
That's good. That's a good segue for what I would like to talk about, is there was a lot of unnecessary characters in this movie. And I get that they're just kind of throwing things in there that don't make sense. Now, I'm not even talking about the bear guy.
You better not be talking about Gleema.
No, those are logistic. She's a part of the whole scheme. So is the bear guy. But I'm sorry that the Seth MacFarlane character and the Sebastian Stan character were completely unnecessary. I mean, they really, and the only thing, like, I think Jason and I were talking about, where he's saying, well, it kind of does set them, because then it sets the FBI because they have this guy saying that Adam Driver's character was there. I get that. But they already had things they could have set up
Right. I mean, there could have been a camera instead. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact, again, that they made him British, and I get the whole outsider thing we talked about. You know, it's kind of he's an outsider to this whole world. It's still just his whole character, that whole thing was completely unnecessary. It established nothing for me. You could have removed him. This whole movie would progress almost exactly the same without him.
Well, and I wonder if whoever wrote it felt like, oh, this is about a NASCAR track, then we should have a NASCAR driver character.
I mean, I get.
But again, a cameo solves that. Not that I don't want to see Sebastian.
Well, right?
Because, hey. But totally agree. I think that could have been taken out. And there were times where I felt the movie kind of dragged a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely during those scenes. But I think there could have been something different.
And that character itself is just useless to me. I think it is because they chose to make him like this British guy. I think I would have liked the character a little better and would have just like, if he had just been some like douchebag hicky guy that just got lucky creating this energy drink in his backyard, you know, he mixed it up. I would have liked him to be more of a character.
I would have liked him to be Texan. I don't know why, but I think as a Texas like tycoon kind of, he would still have the same bravado. But to me, it would make a little bit more sense.
Well, I do like the thing that John said, that it establishes him as a complete outsider. And it does. But the thing that I think is redeeming about that character and having it in the movie is it shows the close relationship between the brother. It's kind of a catalyst for that. Because when they start the fight in the bar, then you can see that the brothers have each other's back no matter what. How they just work together to completely set that car on fire.
And without talking about it or planning, they just know what each other are going to do.
See, so I think that's the theme, though, of this movie then, right? Like, to me, it's the relationship of family, right? Because they really did establish the relationship between the brother, not the sister, but the brothers definitely had that theme of, well, who was it that even called out the one, was it, I almost said Liam Neeson. was it Daniel Craig that said, oh, it's because your brother blew out his knee and you would have never gone to Iraq to show.
He wasn't going
to
be playing football.
Right. So like,
and well, I get you could have done that with any other character. Like you could have made that a throwaway character.
That
would have
been a good way to bring in the sister more.
Yeah.
There you go. That would have been a good, They just had some like hillbilly, like, you know, some dudes just come into a bar to get drunk. But I'm sorry, that rich dude would have been calling the cops right away to have that guy arrested and thrown out of there. He wouldn't have let his car no matter how rich they are.
Yeah.
They're not going to let some podunk hillbilly in a bar burn his car like that and not get some retribution for it.
And honestly, I like Sebastian, so I like seeing him and stuff. Yeah. But like, I feel like the comedy for both of those characters fell flat for me. It was like, oh, let's make fun of the guy that's into the vegan crap.
Yeah.
And it just fell flat. I think Sebastian did a good job with what he was given. Like, he was playing it. But I don't think he had anything at all to work with because it was stupid. Like,
even at the end when
he calls the food his software. Like, yeah. It's just a stupid joke.
Well, even at the end when Hillary Swank says, oh, yeah, we talked to him and he says he never saw anybody else. What was his motivation for that?
I think he hated the guy.
There was nothing even.
No, you're right.
To me, there was nothing even there. Like, what was the point?
Or if you were going to have that happen, have them knock out the British dude and then have a brief moment between him and the two.
Right.
The two as they were leaving and be like, this never happened. You know, something
Yeah,
like
but there
that.
Was nothing there. So it makes me question, like, he just saw them beat the hell out of this guy and he was just like, no, I'm cool, man.
And Chris kind of brought this up when we were talking about it a little bit. I understand why they have Hillary Swank there at the very end. I would have liked it better without that. I know they're trying to play into the whole Logan family curse thing that keeps coming up.
No, I get it.
And that there's still going to be something that could happen to them. Like, they're not out from under it yet. But I'd rather just have them win.
I understand why they have her there. But it just made, like, it was like you're going to go through this whole thing and then you're just going to have her still. Like you said, the case would be closed.
Here's what I would have pictured. Take her out of the bar scene. Bar scene was like the wrap up, right? Everybody's happy. Put Gleema in because I still think Gleema. But pull out from the bar, out to the bar parking lot. Hillary Swank in the car listening. Like, the bar is bugged. That's it. That's all you got to do. Bar's bugged. We don't have to. That whole conversation between her and Adam Driver. No. Just have her sitting out there. I just think that conversation between her and him was dumb. And I also did not like they were trying to hide it was her because they just did the camera from the back and then we do the slow pan reveal.
And she's
I think that's really tropey.
They did that a few times in the movie, though. Yeah. They did that with Daniel Craig's character. They did it. Yeah, they've done it a few times.
Soderbergh directed this, right? Is that a Soderbergh thing? Is that like his director style? Does he do a lot of backpan?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. I just
don't really remember.
It was very
backpan gets on my nerves if it's too much.
Yeah. The other possible reading of why she's in the bar, and we didn't get this from her performance, but it could have been written in the script where she legitimately respected what they had pulled off and literally wanted to meet these guys. Like, if you had changed the acting a little bit, you could have played angle too.
That's good.
Like, because there's nothing where it sounds like she's trying to get info out of him or anything like that. It's just purely, I want to meet these guys. So that
could be it.
I kind of like having that as my headcanon.
No, that's
actually. It's my headcanon now.
Okay. I could deal with that.
Because like Chris said, they would have been interviewed.
This is just me too. Maybe this wraps it up too neatly, right? But sometimes in these heisty movies, the cop's in on it. And I think maybe in my headcanon, she knew and was like, oh yeah, I'll take the case. And she was just like, oh, great. Like, I don't know. So maybe my canon, I would have had her be in on it. I don't know how yet.
Like, maybe she was in Iraq with the brother.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that's
she
how
was
they
military
knew each other.
And she went FBI. Wow, we're getting way out there.
I was going to say, Adam Driver would have been like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you since Kuwait. You know, so.
But I would have loved that. If he had said that, I would have been like, oh.
Yeah. That,
and it she pulls back and she has an arm.
Yeah.
Too, like.
Maybe, no, she had to be missing a leg.
I think it would be better if they had the same like tattoo.
Or something.
Something. You didn't have to have her say anything. She just, you know, puts her arm on the table. We see her out of her suit and we see the same tattoo that Adam has. I just think that there should have been more done. And I don't know who to blame. I hate trying to find blame, but it's like, was it the writing? Was it the directing? Was it the acting? Maybe it was a combo of the three. But I think in my mind, I would have preferred her to have been in on it because that would have been a really fun twist at the end.
I mean, it could have been. You never know. There could have been some studio interference, too. They could have said, you need to add something. You know, you never know.
I think it's more or less like what Pamela likes about the movie. It's just there to fuck with you. Yeah. I don't really think, I honestly don't think that they had.
Talking about what we think would have been different for an hour, for a half an hour now.
It literally is just to fuck with you. John, you read off the last thing of the end credits, except for you.
Do you want to read what it actually said, Pamela?
It says.
At the very end of the credits.
Yeah.
This movie is a work of fiction. Nobody was robbed during the making of this movie except you. So, like, how did they rob me? What did they take?
Of your time.
Like, 2 hours of my time.
Yeah.
But they can have it. The man in the bear in the woods.
Yeah,
it's
literally.
It's such a fun movie that
it
I
really
don't
is.
Care.
Yeah, no, I totally would want to watch it again. And I like the idea of headcanon, like, in my canon, da-da-da-da-da. And I bet if I go back and watch it again with a different headcanon in mind, I'm going to see a completely different movie. I love the idea of imagining what they said about the Purple Lady. My God. How much fun would that be? Just to sit there and be like, what do y'all think she said? Like, what do you think? What was it?
I'm guessing he probably said she's running drugs.
That's what
she's
I got, thought. I was like, she's drunk. Because he's like, we got to detain her.
Yeah, she's got opioids or something on her.
But I would have loved it if they had her favorite drug color or something.
Yeah.
Like, she's
That's my headcanon that I'm sure they said something about drugs. That she
I
was transporting.
Would have loved to see her get the
highway.
Cuffs on her, too. Like, that would have been funny. Just roughing her up a little bit. She's like 70.
You should pay your bill on time.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a cell phone.
Yep.
And I honestly thought that was a throwaway thing. But it really plays into later on in the movie. Like, it was a brilliant call. There are a lot of brilliant callbacks if you pay attention.
Well, yeah. There's,
so,
My favorite is probably the one that I realized for the first time today was that the magnet that he uses to keep the gate from moving, which is a little bit of a spoiler, but yeah.
Well, they should have watched the movie already.
That's
true. If you did your homework.
Is the same magnet that was on his, that he was holding his list up on his refrigerator.
Yeah.
Like.
So he totally delayed them on purpose, and I didn't catch that before.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he just fixed the gate, the fence, but, like, he totally held them up on purpose.
He had to think that they were just morons. He was banking on them not figuring it out what's wrong with this gate long enough for them to do that whole other thing, which I think is funny, too, is that he uses their kind of stupidity.
That comes out to my favorite line. We're value added to this robbery.
Yeah. Well, just, yeah, them mispronouncing words. He's got the word dangerous on his arm misspelled.
That's misspelled.
Yeah, the tattoo on his arm. So yeah, they were definitely the, you know, Larry and Daryl of the, you know.
I forgot about Daryl and Daryl.
Yeah, they were.
I'm Daryl's my brother. Daryl, my other brother. Daryl.
Yeah. with his character, you know, Logan, he is a lot more intelligent than everybody gives him credit for.
Yeah.
Like, he understands, like, the whole thing at the end when he asked about how do you know when the money was safe to go dig up. And he said, because I just left, I didn't pay my phone bill. And I figured if the feds are tapping it, they're going to keep it turned on for as long as they can.
Oh, so brilliant.
Yeah. And so, like I said, I do like that he didn't get enough credit from anybody in the movie. Even his siblings didn't give him enough credit.
Yeah.
For him thinking a couple steps ahead of everybody else. But yeah.
So let's talk about the soundtrack.
I sang along to so many songs in this soundtrack. I loved it. I mean, as soon as it started up at the very beginning, I was like, what's going on? Like, my ears perked up and I was like, ugh. Even when the little girl got the whole crowd singing Country Roads, my heart, I was smiling the whole, I don't know if y'all saw, but I was smiling the entire scene. I was like, this is melting my icy, cold, gay heart. This is so good.
But we didn't get to hear her sing about Rihanna's vagina, though.
Still, I did not know that umbrella was code
for Rihanna. Those two little white boys, they understood what the message was.
God. No, it had some really great, really great music. I mean, I'm always down for John Denver. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, always. And I thank the Muppets for that.
It's a great episode.
The Muppets got me into John Denver.
That's a great episode.
It's one of my favorite Christmas albums is John Denver and the Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, 12 Days of Christmas. What? So good.
So good. But yeah, like you said, I think they did a good job.
And nothing was too overt. There wasn't like your typical, like, you didn't hear Umbrella like you thought you were going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hit all the points.
This soundtrack would be really good for a road trip.
Oh, yeah.
Just you and a friend, when the conversation lulls enough, you just put this on.
Especially if you were doing some tourism in West Virginia.
That's true.
Mountain Mama. Sorry. I know we don't have the rights.
That's okay.
I didn't hit any of those notes.
It doesn't count. Can you just do spoken word, you know, like, take me home?
You're going to do like the Shatner country, spoken word.
Country roads. Mountain Mama.
There you go. Do the Shatner. We're going to Shatner it up there.
We're going to shat ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Oh. All right. On that note.
Ooh, I think we just wrapped up this episode.
We're wrapping up that episode.
Right, is there anything else anybody else wanted to talk about with this movie?
Go watch it.
Oh, I guess we need to rank it.
Yeah.
We need to rate it.
How are we rating it? Are we rating it on Mountain Mamas?
Chunky Adam Drivers.
Chunky Adam. I did say
Husky. Let's say Husky Adam Drivers. How many Husky Adam Drivers would you give this movie?
Well, I would say I give it 4 Husky Adam Drivers. And the only reason... No, I'll give it 4.5. I'll give it a Husky Adam Driver and then a slim, sexy Adam Driver. And the only reason is because, again, I don't think the relationship with the sister was established well enough throughout most of the movie, but specifically at the beginning. So, 4.5.
Okay.
4 Husky, 1 slim and sexy.
Yeah, I give it 4.5 too. I have a few issues, but overall, it's a fun movie. I enjoy watching it. And there's just a few things that I would change. So, yeah, I'd say 4.5, 4.25, 4.5. Yeah. It's a little more than 4, but it's not quite 4.5. But we're just going to go, we're going to round up.
You want to do a slightly skinny section?
I would do a slightly huskier Adam Driver.
She'd do an Adam Driver with the arm off.
There you go.
Or, sorry, not an arm. A hand.
It's just his hand, not his arm. They make that clear. I don't know. I think I'm going to give it 4. I think that's... I would almost do 3.5 with a gelato thrown in there just because... the little girl, you know, wants that. But I'd give it a 4. It's a fun movie. I don't know. It's not one of the ones that I would go to first, for sure. I think that's just because, like I said, it fueled that anxiety. Maybe watching it again, it might help that a little bit. But yeah, I'm going to go with 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 4.5 Husky Adam Drivers. Just because of some of the pacing issues, the little extra scenes that drug it a little bit. I'm gonna take off his hand.
All right. Oh. There you go.
I mean, it's already detachable. It's
see,
okay.
See, I didn't lose my arm. I lost my hand.
And that's the other thing, again, I know we talked about. I just do not buy Adam Driver as just this redneck hillbilly. I don't know if they needed to give him a more scraggly kind of beard or just change his look a little bit, but I don't buy him as that for some reason. It just
you could
doesn't.
Almost switch the brothers. Like, yeah. You could almost, yeah. Like, Adam Driver was the one. I could believe that he came up with all that stuff.
Mm.
Channing Tatum? I have a harder time believing that he came up with all that.
Well, yeah. Are you saying he's dumb?
No.
He just ain't too bright.
He's not that.
Just not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah.
Related to that, if you watch this movie, the people that are the intelligent ones are the ones that don't talk that much. The brothers don't talk a whole lot. The sister doesn't really talk a lot unless somebody is chattering at them.
Like, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like the new dad, he was always talking at her about the cars, and then Joe Bang and the brothers were always talking about stuff, but it was always, yeah.
I like being the quiet one now.
So I guess it's time to spin.
Do we? Yes, because then we get the president. Yeah. Oh, God.
Right?
Please.
Oh, yep. I guess that's what it is. Movie discussion and movie selection and role assignment. That's what we got going on
let's
now.
Let's get that up here. Right. Spin that wheel.
So here we go. We're spinning the wheel of Cindy movie dumps. Here we go.
Anyone but Jason.
It's me.
Chris.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so sorry, Jason. I'm so sorry.
I'm just glad it didn't land on me because I don't think we can stand another heavy movie yet.
I mean, that's accurate. It's accurate.
Oh, it's me. The possibilities are just endless.
It's a me, Crisio.
It's a me. I think since I've talked about it so much, I think Inherit the Wind with Spencer Tracy, Gene Kelly, it's oldie but a goodie. But I think it also relates to a lot of kind of what's going on in our society right now.
I'm excited about that one.
Yay, I'm excited.
It's got a lot of big actors from the time on it. I think you guys will really enjoy it.
And
you know.
The other three of us have not seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be good.
All right, okay. So we got to figure out the other three and what I want everyone to do, and Chris will be the judge as our new president, is to give me your best cauliflower. You can say the whole line or you can just give me your best cauliflower. Here, I can go first. Did you just say cauliflower to me?
Oh, do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Go for it.
Did you just say cauliflower to me?
All right, you know who else I want to hear do it.
Eartha?
Yeah.
Eartha. I'm going to see if I can get her back.
Did you just say calling flower to me?
It's the worst. I can't do it. Like, you get anybody.
Every time you do her, you get slower.
Like you kind of your body kind of, you see this little slink going. Just, like you
I'm
really,
trying to be
like,
a cat.
Yeah, you like, really.
Like the spirit enters him, yeah. And the spirit's got him moving.
You got it.
I love her.
I have no idea how to do this.
Come on, give us your best southern cauliflower.
Your twang.
I don't know. I have to talk about it for a minute. Okay. Did you just say cauliflower to me?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the woman I fell in love
yes.
with.
Yes, that's, yes.
And that is not a fake accent, people. That is the way I used to talk.
She put
it
the R in Warsh and everything.
When you get mad, it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the R in Warsh.
Warsh. I have heard it when you've been angry at a meeting before.
Yes. Yeah. And if people, like, I get around people who have a southern accent, it comes back out.
Oh, God. When we go visit home for any reason, yep. it's like riding back with Dolly Parton, surprise chicken. It's just.
Oh, no. I know. I've got family in Texas. And if I spend a couple days around them, because they have those deep, deep. And yeah, if I spend a couple days, I'm out there twanging. I'm just like, hey, how you going over there? I sound like Boomhound.
I was going to say, you're going straight up yep. Boomhound.
You don't go down there. Anyway, I don't know. That was the hard one. I like Pamela's just twang to the whole thing. I think that just fits. It's appropriate. So I think I'm going to go with her, the vice president.
Woo woo!
I'm going to go with John as the treasurer and Jason as the secretary so I can just see those sexy gams. So I can call you in my office and drop some.
All that, Sonny. You're getting a little personal.
I can drop, just kind of I can drop some pins off, you know, off the desk and ask you to pick them up for me.
God, the worst impressionist ever.
Do you do a Sean Connery?
No.
Just say Moneypenny for me. Just try.
Hold on.
Because I know Chris has got
Moneypenny.
Okay, that was not bad.
You've got to get the Sean Connery. There you go. You say, yeah. Moneypenny.
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek.
The penis, my turn.
The rapist.
There you go.
There we go.
I'll take anal bum covers for that's album covers.
Oh, God.
Which, just a little aside on those, I'm not a huge Will Ferrell fan, but when he's the straight man, amazing.
When Will Ferrell
plays Will Ferrell as a straight man. Yeah. I don't like him when he's Will Ferrell, except in Elf.
Then he is still kind of the straight man because he doesn't. Everybody's playing off of him because of his. And that's kind of like, I Step Brothers. Oh my God. I don't care. I will.
I still haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Step Brothers?
Yeah. No.
Me either.
I can't.
Oh my God, oh, Step Brother!
You've already locked in another choice.
I need to change mine. Can I change my answer?
No, you're not president yet.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry, we're locked in. I can't edit any of this.
Yeah,
once we vote.
No,
I would like to make a motion to amend the bylaws.
There are like some
Step Brothers.
Oh
cannot
my
be named.
God, Step Brother! There are some amazing scenes with him as John C. Reilly in that movie. Crack me up every damn time.
All right, Jason, Mr. Secretary.
We need to
do any older
business. Still send us your movie suggestions because there might be some that we've never seen, and we'd love to hear what movies that you feel we should see. So, you know, we have our lists, but we'd love to hear from you regardless of where you're at. We got listeners in India. If there's a movie that you have there that we have never seen, I'm sure we could find it streaming somewhere. And we would.
I've never seen a Bollywood movie.
Me either. I've never seen a Bollywood movie. But, you know, let us know if there's a movie that you think that should be added to the list, and maybe we could have a special listener month if we get something like that.
I'd like to know why you're listening. Tell us why you're listening. Yeah. I want to know. What do you think about us? Like,
or tell us why you're about to quit listening.
Yeah. That would be
or if you're interested in dating, you know, let us know.
Come on, Pamela. This is the part where you say,
I'm okay. We just had Valentine's. You did good.
Okay. I'm glad we got that on tape.
But yeah, do you want me to go ahead and do our reminders here?
Actually, I am going to do one little piece of old business.
Yeah.
I'm going to promise that I will get all the episodes up on YouTube caught up before next episode.
Whoa, that's a big campaign promise.
It is.
See. That's something that you can like lead on the trail with.
I don't know. There's a certain quarter of my constituency that I don't think's ever going to go for it.
You are right.
So tell us all about everything and where we can be heard.
Oh, gosh.
Jason.
Well, I will when I stop laughing because about 30 different voices almost just came out at the same time. And I was like, everybody calm down. We're doing the real voice right now.
I need to write a little tune for it. And you can sing it next month.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I can do that.
We could put it to the theme song.
It's true. Maybe I could. And we know that I can't hit any notes, so it's fine. You don't even really have to put it to the music. Just say, hey, go, and say the words.
Oh, you can do it as Eartha.
So much work. I'm going to have to listen to Santa Baby for like 30 times. Just to try to even remotely get that hot
You'd
mess.
Be like, end on.
Can I just do it as Harry? We know I can hit Harry anytime. Harry's the normal voice. So don't forget, make sure you follow us on social media. We are still on Facebook. We haven't got banned yet. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter. My favorite is TikTok, so you can definitely hear some snippets from the show on TikTok. You should follow us. It's cute, and you can play them for your friends.
If I start putting them up again because I'm lazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And, of course, you can find out all kinds of info about each of us and more about the show by going to missingmovieclub.com. And here we go. Are you ready? I'm going to try to do it in a breath. Eventually, my goal is to get this down in a breath. But you can listen to us on several platforms.
By the way, I think there might be one more that I can add us to, so I'm going to like...
Look into it.
Should I not do it, though, so you can hit your one breath goal?
No, hit it. We'll see. I'm going to do it with my
I just don't
want
to kill you by adding us to too many platforms.
I feel like you still want to. Oh, here we go. You can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Overcast, Breaker, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher... I took a breath. I was so close. Odyssey, iHeart, Player.fm, and of course, Ghana. So make sure that you share all of the episodes with your friends. If there's one that you really, really enjoyed, share them with your friends. Let them know that we come out monthly, so it's not going to overwhelm your podcast inbox. Let us know what you think.
But I would like to add, I think Trolls, which I was the president of, I think right now stands at our highest view count by last count. So you guys obviously love me. So, you know.
That was a really good episode. We did good.
We went through some stuff on that one.
Which makes me look forward to the Inherit the Wind one.
Yeah. Be good times. Yeah.
Because Chris asked the deep questions, and I'm like, did you like the music?
Here's what made me laugh.
Chris he didn't have a hand.
Chris is like, the philosopher Kant said in 1876 that...
No, with Inherit the Wind, because it is kind of a deep subject, I would be like, woohoo, wacky, let's go.
get your game show voice on.
Yeah. Fine.
All right, it's all time right. for Inherit the Wind trivia.
All right, well, if there is no other business, I guess we are done for this month. Thank you all for listening. I'm going to gavel us out of here.
Let's go get some cookies.
I want some cookies.
Oh, cookies.
I prefer chocolate chip.
Cookies.
I like the ones.
I like oatmeal raisin.
We really haven't asked for any. Someday we might.
Did something just buzz?
Yeah,
I don't know what it was. Was it my phone?
The air sprayer.
Oh, it scared the shit out of me.
Oh, that was loud. That was loud, man.
Yeah, I got these new cheaper ones, and like the regular ones go like.
Yeah, like
it was my chair, and I was
these
like,
sound
I
like
didn't
an angry
scoot.
Cat. They're like,
yeah, yep, I did. Yep, that's what it was.
So like yeah. a little kitten.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, all of that staying in, every bit of it.
All right.
Okay.